yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and it is Draft Week 2018. I know I'm fired up. I'm Ross Tucker, the former NFL offensive lineman, so he's got to be out of his gourd right now. Fran Duffy, the Philadelphia Eagles scouting guru who does this for a living. You can check him out on Twitter, at FDuffy3. I am at Ross Tucker NFL. The podcast is at RTF Podcast for all of the podcasts we've got on the Ross Tucker RT Media Network. Fran, I mean, you got to be giddy right now, man.
Oh, this is exciting. And honestly, I know I'm excited, but I think this is your favorite show of the year.
It definitely is. You know why? Because I love mock drafts, actually doing them. Like I love, and here's the way you got to do it with somebody else, because you got to have that other person surprise you or throw you for a loop, and then it just changes everything. It throws everything off. So that's the case. We actually went back and forth, Fran, as to whether or not we wanted to do a mock draft of what we would do if we were the teams or what we think the teams would do. Tell me what we're doing and what your logic was.
So really, I think to me that, like, really what you usually see is that a lot of people will do mock drafts based off of, you know, what they hear and what they think the teams will do. And I think that's the most valuable. And maybe the listeners can tell me if I'm wrong. I think that it's more valuable for you as a reader to hear and as a listener in this case, to see what teams will do as opposed to what we think they should do. But I think that being said, like you said, you and I are going to go back and forth here. And I think I would be naive to say that, you know, you and I aren't going to put some of our own personal biases into some of these picks. Yeah, we're thinking we're going to go off of what teams are going to do or what we think they're going to do. But we're still going to pick our favorite players in this when it's all said and done. So I think that should be our main objective is, you know, let's try and stay a little realistic in what we think will happen. But also we got to put our little personal flair in there as well.
I like it. Absolutely. This will be a lot of fun. We're going to go back and forth, kind of discuss a little bit about who we would be thinking about, who we think that they'll have it down to, and who we think they will ultimately pick. Let's dive right into it. I don't think we have any mock draft sounder. I don't know. What do you have? Let's just hit, give me a Daddy Soda or something, Bri.
Daddy Sodas.
Yeah. Get a Daddy Soda as you listen to this as Fran and I go through the first round. Now, it should also be said, Fran, there's going to be some trades on Thursday night. We're not going to do that. So this mock draft is not going to be 100% accurate. We're not going to do that. Although, by the way, I've been playing with some mock draft stuff with fanspeak.com. I'll tell you guys about that in a little bit. It's really fun. Like, it's really fun to just tweak one thing here or one thing there. But there will be trades and probably lots of them. But we're just going to go through as the picks are currently laid out at 6:27 a.m. on Monday, April 23rd. Fran, you've got the first pick with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you listen to John Dorsey and his pre-draft press conference, you know, there are little tidbits here and there that kind of go towards either Josh Allen or to Sam Darnold. And there's just so much smoke about the Josh Allen thing, Ross, that I feel like Josh Allen may be the pick when it comes time on Thursday night. Like, you know, all logic points to it being Sam Darnold. They've gone so long without having a quarterback. Well, John Dorsey hasn't. John Dorsey just got there, so he's never missed on a quarterback in Cleveland. This is his first crack at it. I think when you look at his history, and I'm not the first one to point this out, but you look at his history as a general manager, you could argue whether or not he or Andy Reid was making the picks in Kansas City, but you look at to last year, Patrick Mahomes, Tano Passanio in the second round, you look at past first-round picks like Dee Ford, the pass rusher from Auburn, Chris Jones from Mississippi State, Kaveri Russell out of Notre Dame, even Eric Fisher to a certain extent out of Central Michigan. Those guys were all traits players. They were high upside guys that maybe weren't finished products. There were other guys at the position that were seen as, you know, more so technicians at the position, and maybe these guys needed a little bit more work. But John Dorsey banked on the upside to a fault in some cases. But I think when you look at what these two bring to the table, and Sam Darnold and Josh Allen, Josh Allen certainly has the more intriguing traits. He's got better size. He's got better athleticism. He's got better arm strength. When it's all said, and the fact that they are so steadfast on the quarterback that they just traded for from Buffalo, Tyrod Taylor, to be the starting quarterback in 2018, you know this rookie's going to sit. I don't know, man. Everything seems to be pointing to Josh Allen. That's just my gut. Maybe that'll change by the time even this podcast gets posted. But I really do think that when it's all said and done, that I think Josh Allen is going to be the pick for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, that would surprise me. I don't know why there's been so much of that talk, but guys we respect like Daniel Jeremiah and Lance Zierlein have said that's what they're hearing. It was interesting. I didn't even read the whole article yet, but Peter King from the Monday Morning Quarterback said this morning that he does not think it's going to be Josh Allen. Some people he trusts have told him it's not going to be Josh Allen, but you know why would there have been so much talk about that last week? So I really think that would be a dream scenario, Fran, for the New York Giants. I don't think it's going to happen, but if it did, I don't think the Giants would hesitate at all. I think that they would take the guy they believe can be their franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years, and that's Sam Darnold from USC. I know everybody says the Giants have the number two pick. They need to take a quarterback. I don't think that they need to take quarterback. If there's one there they really like, I think they will take him. I think there is only one they really like. I think it's Sam Darnold. I think that's who they take.
Do you think that there's any way that they stay there at two and don't take a quarterback? Like, to me, it's either – to me, from a financial, from a value, from all the other factors, it's either you take a quarterback at two or you trade down, you get picks, and you get a – Chubb or a Nelson or a Barkley, you know, at the five spot or, you know, the wherever spot that you're able to trade down to. I find it hard to believe that they would stay put and take a Saquon Barkley or take a Quentin Nelson or take a Bradley Chubb. Do you think that that's possible?
I think that that's their goal, but they might not get the offer that they're looking for. I think goal number one would be Darnold. Goal number two would be trade down. Goal number three would be probably Barkley in my mind.
I'm going to go for the Jets. You know, they traded up with the intent of getting a quarterback. There's no question about that. And the name that continues to be linked with them is Baker Mayfield. And I think it's almost, to this point, it's like the pick that everybody, I think, is writing in pen at this point, right? Like, everybody feels like Baker Mayfield to the Jets is almost a done deal at this point. A lot of reports out there, you know, friend Tony Pauline, people from the MMQB, really just around the country, you're seeing that a lot of people are linking Baker Mayfield to the New York Jets. He's the polar opposite of Christian Hackenberg, who this regime picked in the second round just 2 years ago. So I think when you look at Baker Mayfield, I feel like that's his floor is the New York Jets at three. I don't know. I think if a team wants to get Baker Mayfield, they're going to have to trade up ahead of the Jets. Is just reading. No one's telling me that. That's just looking at all these reports out there. I feel like that's that. If you want Baker Mayfield, you have to trade up to number two.
So then for the Browns at four, I think this would be a trade spot if somebody wanted to get in front of the Broncos to take Josh Rosen. For the Browns, I think it will come down to Bradley Chubb or Saquon Barkley. The chance to get a guy opposite Myles Garrett on the other side, or the chance to get a really, really good running back. And I think I'm going to go with Bradley Chubb. As much as I love Saquon Barkley, I think John Dorsey thinks, hey, you gotta have a quarterback, you gotta affect the quarterback, and the chance to have Chubb on the other side of Myles Garrett for the next however many years is too good for them to pass up.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way that they go too. At number five with Denver, I think that their plan would be to get Baker Mayfield if they could. I think if the Jets hadn't traded up to three, I would have had Baker Mayfield going five to Denver for a number of reasons. One, they coached him at the Senior Bowl. They got to see him up close in person. They bring in a guy like Case Keenum, who came from a similar kind of offense at the college level and has kind of – he's been around the league for a long time, and he's learned how to play the NFL game. He's learned how to see things at the speed of the NFL game. And obviously, he spent a long time as a backup. He's bounced around to different rosters. He's gotten his shot, and he really had a career season last year in Minnesota. He would be a really good mentor for a player like Baker Mayfield. So talking about teams that could trade up to number two to get ahead of the Jets – Denver is a team that makes sense. You know, just from the outside, that's a team that makes sense to me. That being said, with Baker Mayfield off the board, I don't think they go Josh Rosen here. I think that if the board shakes out this way, I think you're looking at Saquon Barkley. I think you look at Saquon Barkley here. You just cut C.J. Anderson last week. I know that they've got faith in Devontae Booker and D'Angelo Henderson and some of those other guys they've got there. But Saquon Barkley is a different kind of player. To me, I think you take Saquon Barkley here. You feel good about what you've got to try and win right now. Obviously, last year did not go well, but I feel like Saquon Barkley would be the pick for the Broncos if the board were to shake out this way.
So then at six, you've got the Indianapolis Colts. I think that they would consider corners like Denzel Ward as well as Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think that they would consider linebackers, certainly. And I think if they had their druthers, they would trade down a few spots and still get one of, quote-unquote, those guys. I think ultimately, though, it comes down to Denzel Ward versus Quentin Nelson. They did just sign Matt Slauson in free agency, and corner is a much bigger need for them. But this is Denzel Ward or Quentin Nelson. It's just such a big need. I'm gonna give him Denzel Ward. I'm gonna give him Denzel Ward over Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, the logic absolutely makes sense. And for me, for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And this would be another spot where you could see a potential trade down. But I think when you look at Tampa Bay and what their roster looks like, and there's a lot of sneaky positions I think that they could go with here. You know, like there are a few different ways they could go. You've got a couple key players going into contract years. Quan Alexander's going into a contract year. No reason to think they wouldn't bring him back. It's probably too early for a receiver. Corner absolutely makes sense for this team. You know, Vernon Hargreaves to this point hasn't proven to be a top shelf outside corner. Brent Grimes is entering a contract year. He's on the older side. If Saquon Barkley were available, that would make sense. If Denzel Ward were available, that would make sense. But with all things being what they are, I'm going to go with Derwin James. You know, they selected Justin Evans last year in the second round. I think he's going to be their center fielder for a few years now down the line. I think when you have Chris Conte and Keith Tandy and some of the other guys that they've got down there to play that box role, I think Derwin James brings more value to the table. And I think Derwin James is a guy that they'd be really interested in. Quentin Nelson would be the other guy. With Evan Smith being the starting left guard at this point, I think Derwin James, though, is the pick.
Yeah, Bears don't hesitate at all. They're thrilled. Harry Hiestand was Quentin Nelson's O-line coach the last 4 years in Notre Dame. Now he's with the Bears. They need a guard. He's the best guard in forever. No hesitation. Bears take Quentin Nelson at eight.
Yep, and to me, that makes a whole ton of sense. That's a match made in heaven. Number nine, San Francisco. A lot of different ways I could go here, Ross. In a mock draft that I did a while ago, I penciled in Daron Payne, the nose tackle from Alabama. I think that he fits exactly the kind of player that they're looking for. But with all the issues surrounding last year's first-round pick, Reuben Foster, and the fact that they don't really have a guy next to him that has that is truly like a great player, I think that you could go back to the prime of Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman if Reuben Foster can stay straight off the field and you take a Roquan Smith. I think the opportunity to do that is just too good to pass up. I'm going to take Roquan Smith here from Georgia, put him next to Reuben Foster, and also kind of serve as a bit of an insurance policy as well. I like the fit here for Roquan Smith.
So I think things have worked out pretty well for the Raiders here. They would like a linebacker or a corner in this spot in my mind. So you're looking at either Terrell Edmonds or Minka Fitzpatrick. And I just think there's a little bit too much unknown with Terrell Edmonds, and they're going to love Minka Fitzpatrick at 10. Gruden's probably salivating with all the different things they can do with him. Minka Fitzpatrick, the do-it-all DB out of Alabama, goes to the Raiders at number 10.
Do you think there's any, like, what is your, you obviously were much more involved in covering the league back when Gruden was in charge down in Tampa Bay. Were there trends that you remember from him, from his previous tenure as a head coach, like in terms of picking offensive players or defensive players, or, you know, the kinds of players that he would kind of go for from like a personality perspective?
Not really. I don't really remember. I just remember that he had a lot of good players in Tampa when he was there, but they were already there. He hadn't drafted any of those guys on defense, you know?
Yeah, it's been interesting. They're a team that I think, like, honestly, Ross, I did a mock draft over the weekend, like, for PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and the first 9 picks mirrored this exactly, what we've gotten so far. And then I get to number 10, and I'm like, I don't even know where to go from here. So it's going to be really interesting. Obviously, trades, like you mentioned, are really going to shake up this top 10. But so far, I think I'm seeing it the same way that you are in terms of how this is going to pan out. Number 11 with Miami, man, this is a tough one, man. Cause to me, like, they're absolutely in the quarterback sweepstakes. And I think that if Josh Rosen were to get to this point, I think this is where the fall would stop. I think this is where Josh Rosen would go. That being said, I think you're looking at a team like Buffalo, New England, Arizona. One of those teams to me is going to trade up and make sure that they get him in the top 10. With some of these other teams that we've talked about, you know, Tampa, New York, you know, potentially a San Francisco, even Denver at this point too, if that top 5 went the way that we had it going. But I just think, you know, if the board goes this way and Josh Rosen falls to them, I think this is where the slide ends. But if he's not there, and we'll mention this as well, if Rosen's off the board and you got to go somewhere else, I think they'd love to get linebacker depth. They obviously lost Ndamukong Suh, so a defensive tackle would make a lot of sense. They do have the pick of the litter here in this scenario, with whether it's a Payne or a Vita Vea would make sense as well. But with Josh Rosen here, I think it makes too much sense. I'd love to see Josh Rosen in Miami.
Got it. And I think that really hurts the Bills, because they wanted to get one of those quarterbacks. I think if it played out like this, Buffalo would probably even try to trade down, because they'd like to get O-line help. They'd like to get wide receiver help, maybe even linebacker help. I think that they feel like this is a little too rich for the O-line or the wide receiver. So I think they're going to take Terrell Edmonds out of Virginia Tech, the linebacker. Mm.
Yeah, that would make some sense. They definitely need some help there in that front 7 on defense, especially some more youth. With that being the case, Washington Redskins are up, and I really feel like the pick here is going to be Vita Vea. I would love Da'Ron Payne, and I think if it were solely my decision, I would take Da'Ron Payne. There's been a lot of buzz about the Washington Redskins and Darius Geis. We've talked about that in the past. Just a lot of media connections, people, you know, pointing out the fact that there's a lot of heat there between Washington and Darius Geis. I think that makes a lot of sense. The cornerback spot as well. I think, you know, whether you're looking at Josh Jackson or Jair Alexander or Mike Hughes, all those guys I think would fit there in Washington. But they need some help on the interior. You know, they drafted Jonathan Allen last year, but he's more of a D end in their 3-4 scheme, a guy that can rush on the inside as well for sub package. But I think Vita Vea brings them that ability to stop the run at a really high level. He's the kind of guy that I think Jim Tomasulo would be really, really excited to add into that defensive front.
Got it. All right, we got to move this along a little faster. I'm going to get to Green Bay. I think, by the way, it's Tremaine Edmonds, not Terrell Edmonds. That's his brother. But I think when Green Bay looks at the board, it did not go real well in terms of the positions where they wanted to get a guy. I think that they'll consider somebody. In fact, you know what? I am going to take a corner here. This might be a little high for some people, but he seems like a Packers pick for me, and that's Josh Jackson, the cornerback out of Iowa at 14. Packers really, really, really need a corner.
Makes a lot of sense. I'm going to go – with Mike McGlinchey for the Arizona Cardinals. So we do think that they're a team that could move up for a quarterback, but I think when it's all said and done, they need a lot of help on the offensive line. McGlinchey, to me, is the best tackle on the board.
So then that gives us the Baltimore Ravens, who they've got a bunch of guys they're looking at as well. And I think that they're going to end up taking the number one receiver on their board. I don't know if that's Calvin Ridley or DJ Moore. I'll go Calvin Ridley just because the Alabama connection, he's been silky smooth. I think they go with Calvin Ridley. By the way, if you think this mock draft is awesome, and it is, you can do it. You can run your favorite team's draft. Use fanspeak.com's on-the-clock mock draft simulator to act as the GM for your team by making the picks and simulating the 2018 NFL draft. They got nearly 30 big boards from NFL draft experts like our guy from the Fantasy Feast, Joe Marino, to choose from. You can see how various scenarios could play out, just like Fran and I are doing right now. Also, they're updating it live Thursday and Friday nights, so you can continue to run mocks based on what happens in real time, which is awesome. Just go to fanspeak.com/on the clock. That's fanspeak.com/on the clock. Go ahead, Fran. You're up at number 17 with the Los Angeles Chargers.
I'm really tempted to go tackle here, but and I think that is their biggest need. But also, watching the Chargers last year, they had a lot of issues stopping the run inside. We know they've got a great outside of the defensive line, a great pairing of pass rushers with Bosa and Ingram. But they need help on the interior. So I'm going to forego the offensive tackle spot. I'm going to go with the defensive tackle spot. And Dayron Payne, to me, as a player, I think would fit Gus Bradley's identity up front in that defensive line. I really like that pick there.
So for the Seahawks, there's a bunch of different positions where they could use somebody. I actually think that their O-line looks like it might be in pretty decent shape, but it's been such an issue, and this guy is so good, that I think they're going to take Isaiah Wynn out of Georgia. And, you know, you have him as a tackle, you have him as a guard. People are concerned about his length, but I know a lot of people think he can still play offensive tackle. So I think the Seahawks go Isaiah Wynn.
I'm going to end the slide here. Probably the best player that's on the board, even though Dallas just took an outside player last year in Taco Charlton off the edge as a pass rusher. I'm going to go with Harold Landry because, to me, he's a guy that should definitely be off the board with the ninth, but before the 19th pick. But in this situation, obviously, he's fallen. I'm going to end the slide. I think Harold Landry makes a lot of sense. He doesn't have the size qualifications that maybe they're looking for in Dallas, but I think he's just too good to pass up here.
Yeah, and I think even though they've got Deion Jordan, even though they've got Ziggy Ansah, I think that the Detroit Lions actually look at Marcus Davenport from UTSA, University of Texas San Antonio, as another Ziggy Ansah or the next Ziggy Ansah. They only have Ziggy right now on the franchise tag. So I think at 20, they take Marcus Davenport and pair him up with Ziggy Ansah and then either get Ansah signed to a long-term deal or have Davenport as the heir apparent.
Cincinnati needs a lot of help on the interior offensive line, and a player that I think fits this position really well is James Daniels from Iowa. I really like the fit. I think he's a guy that really could come in and give them both depth and versatility, whether you play him a guard or center. I really like the idea of James Daniels there.
Yep, and that's a guy that I think that the Buffalo Bills would have strongly considered. But at 22 now, I think that they think the guy that they really would need a receiver bad, and I think that they probably think DJ Moore is as good as anybody in the draft. So I think they would take him if it fell this way.
Looking at the board at this point for New England, you know, there are a lot of players that really interest me here, but I'm going to go with Jaire Alexander to give them some more help at the cornerback spot. Obviously an area of need especially after that Super Bowl loss. I think you look at the cornerback spot, Jaire Alexander, I think fits really well.
All right, so can I go back and give the Bills Lamar Jackson instead. I'm like torn as to which guy they would take. I was looking at these positions in need. I think the Bills might take Lamar Jackson at 22, but I gave him DJ Moore, and it is what it is. But I do think that the Bills would strongly consider Lamar Jackson at 22. You know, as you're doing this, Fran, you almost forget that at 12 they didn't take a quarterback. You know,
yeah, exactly.
And they didn't move. And they didn't move up and get a quarterback like I think a lot of us think that they will. As for the Carolina Panthers, there's a bunch of different positions where they could use somebody. Edge rusher is one that I think that they will really look at. Cornerbacks, another one. But I don't think anybody at edge rushers there that they would still like. I think they're going to go corner, and I think that they would go Mike Hughes from Central Florida.
Mike Hughes would make a lot of sense. At linebacker, or for the Tennessee Titans, I'm going to go with a linebacker. And a player that I think would make a lot of sense for them is Leighton Vander Esch. You know, he's a guy that can play a number of different positions for them on the inside. They just brought in Mike Vrabel to coach the defense there. And I think Leighton Vander Esch, I think, would fit really well in Tennessee.
I can see that. For Atlanta, there's a bunch of different positions that they're going to look at. I think interior D-line and offensive guard are the two that are most important for the Atlanta Falcons at this point. So it really comes down to Taven Bryan, Harrison Phillips, or Connor Williams. And ultimately, I think they would go with Taven Bryan. Dan Quinn has those connections, the University of Florida. Bryan has a huge upside. And I think they really think that he is a guy for the future. So I think they'd go Taven Bryan.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. He's a player that absolutely fits that profile. In New Orleans, I'm going to go with Marcus Davenport off the edge because
That's who I took in Detroit. Sorry.
You did take him with Detroit. All right. I'm going to go with instead of Marcus Davenport, I think when you look at the rest of this defense for the New Orleans Saints, there are a lot of different ways it could go. Obviously, they just got a big-time corner last year, but I think that they could use a little bit more help on the back end at safety. They do like to go into sub-packaging. One player I think that makes a lot of sense from the way that they play would be Justin Reed from Stanford. And I'm going to go with him as the pick there. I think his versatility, his ability to play in the slot as well, he kind of fits that profile, that scheme profile that they bring down in New Orleans.
I can see that. All right, so now you got the Pittsburgh Steelers at 28, and there's still some good players left on the board for the Steelers. I think that we've all talked about they can always go secondary. I feel like it's been talked about a lot. Linebacker, edge players, those are guys that they've been looking at as well. If you look at linebacker, the best one is probably Rashawn Evans. If you look at corner, the best one may be Isaiah Oliver. I think that they would also consider a safety. But ultimately, after they lost Shazier, and I know they signed John Bostic, but I'm going to give them Rashawn Evans from Alabama at inside linebacker. Rock solid at a big-time position in need.
Yeah, this is really tough here for Jacksonville because there's a lot of different ways you can go. But I'm going to go with offensive lineman Frank Ragnow from Arkansas, a guy that we talked about in the fall a lot. Obviously, the injury kind of killed the buzz on him a little bit, but it's really picked up lately. I think he fits the Tom Coughlin profile of an offensive lineman. He gives them added depth at center and guard and a guy that should be a longtime starter for them. I'm going to go with Frank Ragnow.
So that leads us to the Minnesota Vikings, who could always look cornerback, could always look interior O-line, even offensive tackle. And I think that's where they would go. I think that they would go O-line. And the guys that they would be debating would be guys like Will Hernandez and Connor Williams. I think that they would ultimately, though, go with Will Hernandez. Connor Williams might be a little more versatile. I think Will Hernandez is a little more of a sure thing. So Will Hernandez goes to the Vikings at 30.
I'm going to go offensive line for New England, and I'm going to take Colton Miller, the athletic tackle from UCLA. He can play right tackle or left tackle. A lot of buzz about him being a first-round pick, and I'm going to have him go right here, number 31, to New England.
At number 32, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I think that the Eagles would love to trade down and get some day two picks. I really think, and there's been some buzz about that. I've seen some reports now. You know, and there will probably be a team that would want to, if it played out like this, I'd be shocked if a team didn't want to move up to get Lamar Jackson, who I think would have gone off the board already. It's just the way things played out in this mock draft, it didn't. And or Mason Rudolph. But as for the Eagles at this point, if they had to take somebody, I think it would be Connor Williams out of Texas to give them some versatility at both tackle, guard. I think he's more of a guard, and maybe he becomes the heir apparent there at left guard to Stefan Wisniewski. And maybe even they think he can give it a shot at tackle. I don't know, but I'll take the offensive lineman out of Texas at number 32. You know, Kelsey's not getting younger. Brandon Brooks isn't getting younger. So I'll get 32, Connor Williams. So I'm going to read through it. You ready, Fran?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Number one, Cleveland, Josh Allen. Number two, the Giants, Sam Darnold. Number three, Jets, Baker Mayfield. Number four, Browns, Bradley Chubb. Number five, Broncos, Saquon Barkley. Six, Colts, Denzel Ward. Seven, Bucks, Derwin James. Eight, Bears, Quentin Nelson. Nine, Niners, Roquan Smith. 10, Raiders, Minkah Fitzpatrick. 11, Dolphins, Josh Rosen. 12, Bills, Tremaine Edmonds. 13, Redskins, Vita Vea. 14, Packers, Josh Jackson. 15, Arizona Cardinals, Mike McGlinchey. 16, Baltimore Ravens, Calvin Ridley. Number 17, the Chargers take Daron Payne. 18, Seahawks, Isaiah Wynn. 19, Cowboys, Harold Landry. 20, Lions, Marcus Davenport. 21, Bengals, James Daniels. 22, Bills, DJ Moore. 23, Patriots, Jaire Alexander. 24, Carolina, Mike Hughes. 25, Tennessee, Leighton Vander Esch. 26, Atlanta Falcons, Taven Bryant. 27, the New Orleans Saints take Justin Reed. 28, the Steelers take Rashawn Evans. 29, the Jags take Frank Ragnow. 30, the Vikings take Will Hernandez. 31, the Patriots take Colton Miller. Number 32, the Eagles take Connor Williams. 4-0 linemen to end the first round, Fran.
Yeah, and now looking at like the biggest names that we left out, Lamar Jackson at quarterback, Darius Geis at running back, Ronald Jones at running back, Christian Kirk and Cortland Sutton at receiver. All the tight ends are still there. Offensive line, I would say probably Tyrell Crosby, Billy Price. Those are the first-round guys that I think are probably off the board for us. Maurice Hurst, a defensive tackle, certainly a big name. Carlton Davis, Dante Jackson, Isaiah Oliver at corner, and then Ronnie Harrison, the safety from Alabama. Those are probably the biggest names that we did not select in this first round.
That was awesome. Listen to this and then listen to it again and then go to fanspeak.com. And do your own mock drafts. It was a blast. Fran, have so much fun Thursday night. I'll be in Big D. I know you'll be doing stuff for PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Make sure you're checking out Fran on Twitter at FDuffy3. That's where all of his stuff that he does for the Eagles can be found. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Appreciate the retweets on Twitter, the likes on Facebook for this show. And anything you can do to spread the word about this mock draft, what a blast this was. But right now, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Are you looking for a champion's insight from a fan's perspective into the world of sports and entertainment?
Then check out In the Key with me, NBA champion BJ Armstrong.
And me, sports analyst Gerald Brown.
Right here on Podcast One. We know the business, and each week we'll chat with celebrity guests and provide an informed discourse on the cultural beats of the moment.
Download new episodes of In the Key every Thursday on PodcastOneSports.com, the Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts.